Tech 9 coming for you on this fine, fine Saturday morning.
It's so fucking funny. Like, always just, it's almost like a grab bag of like, what am I gonna get? What's it gonna be today?
I keep it so random. I like to hit you with different genres, crazy different artists, like every week. This is straight out the gate with Tech 9, Chris Calico, and Serge Tonky on the hook.
He's got Ill Flow.
Ill Flow. And the OG of this independent game.
Mm-hmm.
The straight OG of the independent game.
Dude, my
like one of the first, like, he was doing nationwide tours independent. Huge.
Friends of mine were super into his shit in like 6th grade.
Yeah. Dude, this guy's made like 20 albums. Like, he's made so much music.
Strange music is slept on too.
It really is. Like, they have Cess Crew is dope as fuck.
Some deep talent in there.
Listen to Serge on this fucking hook. Speaking of Serge, System of a Down is announced for a new album in 2017. Yeah, System coming out with that new album. Fuck yeah, it is.
Oh shit. What, like later in the year? Probably like September or something?
Just well, maybe. I don't ever heard the news late. I don't know if I heard the news late 2016 or this year. So I would guess, yeah, late 2017, 2018. Early 2018, we're going to get a new System album.
That's fucking badass,
yeah.
Dude,
we need them. We need politically charged bands like that in times like this. Like, I feel like the music, they've had a nice long break from the studio, and I feel like they're going to fucking come back banging.
I feel like they'll also have a lot to say.
That's what I'm saying. Know?
Like, give them that much time to... Because I feel like
they've got to be the world has changed a lot since they last released their last albums, which I think were Mesmerize and Hypnotize, which came out when we were fucking like sophomores in high school, freshmen in high school. They've been out of the game. Like, they've been touring here and there, but they've been out of the game, like, making new music for a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, 8 years.
I feel like with those bands, or just in musicians in general, like, it's not like you stop writing shit.
Yeah.
You know, you're still fucking around with stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
I have to think.
Like, Green Day, they came out with 3 kind of lame-o albums.
Uh-huh.
But then they went back to their political shit with their newest one, 21st Century Revolution, I think. And it's really good. It's a really good album. It's really cool. People hate on Green Day, but I like American.
Why do you think that is?
People just get mad when they change their style. Like, they were such a... they were a punk band, and they used to be rocking out about doing meth and drugs and staying up and partying. Like, and then all of a sudden you become like a politically charged band who sings about fucking and makes a rock opera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it pisses people off, but it's like, hey, guess what? They're 38-year-old adults now, and they care about shit, and they're not on drugs anymore. Like, what the fuck do you want them to sing about?
Their interests change and their music reflects that? How dare they?
Exactly.
God damn it.
Exactly. You know, I've read Green Bay's, like, a Green Day biography because I was super into them when I was a kid. And, like, dude, they've been a band since they were, like, you know, in high school together.
No shit.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't remember their name, but they were a band a long time before they even became Green Day. And then they switched to Green Day and made Dookie and it blew up.
Huh.
But fucking, yeah, their topics have always changed, and I appreciate that. But that's what I appreciate in music, is people who change, and they don't just try to do the same shit over, like, that formulaic bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to figure out, like, oh, they like this one album of mine, I'll just keep making that one album. So.
Yeah, because then, like, who gives a fuck?
Who gives a fuck?
If you're recycling the same shit over and over.
That's why I don't like Rise Against really too much anymore.
Because
it's the same shit. It's just the super, super repetitive. Yeah, it's like they just found a formula that their fans like, and they just stick to it. Even though I still listen to a lot of their old shit, but I don't really give a fuck about any of them. If I see a new Rise Against album, I'm like, whatever.
We were, before the podcast, we were talking about musicians that play in different bands all over the place. And
Yeah, we're talking about Dave Grohl.
Yeah, because there's this thing on Facebook right now where it's like, how well do you know me? And you list like 10 things about you, and one of them's false, and people have to guess which
one. And Dave Grohl did it.
And so he did, like, I played in all these bands and just list out like 10 bands, like
Nirvana. Dude, great fucking bands. It's Nirvana, Foo Fighters, Nine Inch Nails, Tenacious D, mm-hmm. Crooked Crows, or...
I don't remember that
one. It's like another one of those super bands with like a bunch of old rock stars that are just like, let's make a fucking jam band.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So he has it up there, and then it's like, oh, trick question, I've played in them all. I am Dave Grohl, I am a god, bow before me.
He is.
Kudos, sir.
Cheers to you. Cheers to Dave Grohl. That fucking savage.
By the way, like, if... You don't really care for IPAs, do you?
Just that one fucking islandy one I had that one time.
Try this one. This is...
Dude, you were saving this, and I was like, it must be good if you're saving
it. It's super good. Jake.
Batch 15.
Shout out to Jake. He left
it. Is this the shit he left at your house? Yeah. You're such a cheap bastard. You're like, don't touch the stolen beer.
It's so good. I wanted to save it.
That's so funny.
Because he was... So it's called Aslan Brewery, and they're out of Bellingham.
I don't like it. But I could totally see why you do love that. Like, that's got like a really...
It's not super hoppy. It's a little bit citrusy.
It's not terrible at all, though. Mm-hmm. I could definitely drink that.
It's called...
It's citrusy, yeah. It has like a really light citrus up front.
And they just have a dope can, too. So it's Aslan Brewing Company out of Bellingham. So just fucking north of us.
Oh, you could go
and
get
their,
that.
Their logo is a hop stylized as a lion.
And oh, is that like the shape of like a hop flower?
Yeah.
Oh, I see it.
Isn't
yeah.
That dope?
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. And it's a strong beer. Is that 8%?
No, it's 6.7.
Oh, okay. Normal.
But yeah, this is... I feel like I don't really like IPAs a whole lot.
No, I don't
either. It's an acquired taste, but I'm starting to get into them. Pretty much the same way that you get into like anything middle shelf once you come up on fucking Keystone Light and Coors Light and piss water beers.
Oh,
like
dude,
that.
I can't drink any of that. I sipped one of those light beers and I was like, oh, mm-hmm. What the fuck is that? Like, because I will drink a beer every now and then for sure. Like, we drank beers Friday night. I had one of your Elysians, which I didn't like. I didn't like that one.
That one's a red.
I didn't like it. What was the other one I had?
The Kona. Blue Wave.
That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a big... We have a big box in that in the back. Shout out to Costco.
So, and then what was that island? It's called an Island IPA, but I don't know who brews it.
I want to say it's Sam Adams, but...
But that shit is good. Like, I tried that. You bought a six-pack of it. And then we just got it on tap at the Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And people fucking love it.
Oh, it might be a Kona one also.
Oh, interesting.
Kona's good. Like,
they make good
shit. A lot of their shit that I've had I really like. But I like being in the area. When you go to a grocery outlet here, compared to like Ellensburg, there's all kinds of beers, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Dude, there's all sorts of breweries over here, I bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's actually not too far from where Amy and I work is Woodinville Whiskey Company.
Oh,
and they have their shit in Costco. They have their shit in like local areas. But it's apparently a really, really good whiskey.
Hmm.
You can go on distillery tours.
We should do that.
We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
Out in that area, there's tons of wineries, tons of breweries, and some distilleries, like, all in this big row. And we went and toured Red Hook, and that was cool. Like, I've never seen production on that scale. I'm just like, this is where all this shitload of stuff comes in.
Conveyor belts and just crazy shit.
Well, most of it's in tanks. Because like, it's the fermentation process, and you don't want shit to get, like, contaminated, pretty much.
Right.
So everything's in holding tanks, and it gets, like, shuttled from one tank to another and moved around and all this shit. But the scale of it is absolutely massive. And all these breweries have, like, restaurants attached to them.
Oh, of course.
So afterwards, you go around.
Are they good restaurants, though?
Well, no, this one was, yeah.
Nice.
But, you know, you get like 5 sampler beers on the way. You get a nice little buzz going on.
Hell yeah.
Go downstairs and get some food after the end.
That sounds like a good day.
Yeah, it's fun.
I could fuck with that.
We gotta check out that whiskey distillery for sure.
Yeah, I could definitely do some whiskey and some fucking burger afterwards. I could fuck with that.
And everything's so close.
Yeah, we live in a cool area. It's cool because, like, I kind of already have, like, a general feel of the area, too, after just one weekend. Like,
it happens quick.
It happens like, quick.
Oh, that's there on this corner. This is just up the street.
Dude, once you know where Aurora is, mm-hmm. and you just... Everything goes off like Aurora, and then you have like 185th, 175th. They all meet up perpendicular mm-hmm. to Aurora, and yeah. then it's just like once you have that mapped out, kind of in your head, it's kind of really easy to see stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice in this area too. Like once you get into downtown Seattle, there's some weird definitely. Stuff with the streets going. Every oh, definitely. Which way.
Especially like Denny, you get some really weird oh, yeah. cross sections, and the roads. Like where the fuck does this road go?
Even in, like,
down by like the docks, it gets a little mm-hmm. weird.
Even places. In like some of the neighborhoods too, like Queen Anne, Valley, yeah. Fremont. Like there's some funky roads. In
oh
there.
Yeah, for sure.
But up here, everything's nice and gridded out. It's real simple.
It feels like a newer. Yeah, some of those parts of Seattle feel really old mm-hmm. with like the street structure and stuff, which is why it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. There's a. There's an Instagram account called like Vanishing Seattle or something, and it's all these like old school established places of business or monuments or just buildings in general that are getting bought up and demolished for other things or getting, you know, businesses that shut down and get turned into something else. Mm-hmm. So it just, the entire account is just covering that, like stuff that's getting changed up.
Interesting.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, shit fucking changes with the times, that's for sure. You fucking sure as fuck can't stop it.
We're so, like, humans in general. It's all, it is cool to have something that's been there since, you know, forever. Like the palace in Ellensburg. It's yeah. been open since
18-something.
Yeah. yeah. Like, that's cool.
The late 1800s, which is nuts.
Mm-hmm. But the idea that stuff's just gonna stay that way forever
it's
is...
pretty naive to think that.
Super silly.
Yeah.
Do you see that shit where they just found... some crazy, it's like 130,000 years ago, there was like some sort of human activity in North America's. Let me look up the numbers on that so I'm not completely bullshitting.
So wait, repeat that again?
So the timeline for human activity in North America just keeps getting pushed back and back oh, and back
yeah.
and back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they recently found something... Like, I don't know if it's an archaeological dig site or a monument or whatever, but they found something that they dated to a long, long time ago. And I want to say it was like 130,000 years, but that's I better nuts. Double check. Yeah, I'll have to look this up. But even if it's not 130,000 years, the timeline just keeps getting moved.
Right.
And yeah, Graham Hancock was really excited about it.
I was going to say, that's what Graham Hancock talks about a lot.
Because it ties in with all of his theories.
Yeah, that the Sphinx was made like way fucking earlier. The Sphinx was built way fucking earlier than they think, and basically he just thinks things are way older than everyone else thinks they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because of like the rain erosion. That's what he thinks fucked up the Sphinx, is the rain erosion. And he's like, if you go back to the last time rain was in Egypt, it was just like, I don't know numbers, but it was way longer than what the mainstream thought of when the Sphinx was built it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which seems like a pretty simple explanation to me.
Yeah. Incredible discovery reveals human activity in the Americas 130,000 years ago.
It's What's...
a deeply buried site in coastal San Diego.
What's this source? What's the website?
This one's I Fucking Love Science, which is not really like a reputable thing, but they usually they're reputable. Good.
They're a good aggregator for stuff.
Exactly. They're yeah. a good aggregator to go like chase links elsewhere.
Yeah. I find a lot of bullshit through them, but I find a lot of good stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wouldn't use this as like a single source, but I want to read up more on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like there's something with something to do with a woolly mammoth or a mastodon or something.
Dope.
That has like hunting activity, like spear marks or something on the bone.
Dude, I'm reading a story and not this latest Atlantic I got because I just got that one, but the month before about Plasticine Park up in Siberia. How there? That's the woolly mammoth project.
Oh, the to get you a woolly mammoth.
They're gonna cloning woolly mammoths as we speak, and they're going to bring them back, and it's so they eat down and protect the permafrost. Because if the permafrost melts, it'll release, like, as much CO2 into the atmosphere that's, like, ever have been released so far. Like, or some crazy... It will, like, fuck global war. It will, like, basically start it, like, you know... I don't know the words. I'm so stoned right now. But it will fuck our planet up.
It's going to ramp shit up.
Ramp shit up to, like, exponential levels. That's that's the word I was, like, searching for.
Well, good thing we're shutting down all the monitoring of all that data and all that activity.
And we're ramping coal back up and mining and drilling. It's super good. But...
It's so silly.
It's so silly, but it's so cool that, like, people are trying these really interesting and exotic ways to try to prevent this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Plasticine Park is, they're taking this giant, what is now a reserve, and they're, like, manipulating the landscape to resemble, you know, fucking, like, grasslands where woolly mammoths roamed. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to clone elephants and turn them into woolly mammoths, and bajingo, we're going to have woolly mammoths again in, like, 30 years.
God.
Fuck yeah.
That's wild.
Fuck yeah. I love seeing a woolly mammoth. That's so cool.
We're in a strange place where, like, this is the solution to the problem. Well, we need a species extinct from, like, 100,000 years
ago. Let's be honest, too. It's just these genomicists, like, dick measuring contests. Like, look, we made a fucking woolly mammoth. Like, it's gotta be partially that, in my opinion.
Probably.
But it.
Shouldn't we start with a smaller or something?
We can't just start a woolly mammoth. We gotta have a good reason to start a woolly mammoth. Alright, let's think of something.
Right.
And they figured out, like, a dope reason to just, like, lay their dick out on the science world. Check this shit out.
Suck it, robotics.
Because they found... Because woolly mammoths aren't extinct to the point where they can't find, like, live... Well, no, that's wrong. Like, they can't find live DNA in, like, the fossils and stuff, but we have elephants, and they're close enough ancestors that they can just, like, take that and fucking manipulate it with CRISPR.
Is that how they're going to do it?
Yeah. They're going to take CRISPR and manipulate elephant DNA and turn it into woolly mammoth DNA.
I see this going...
It's going to be badass.
I see this... I don't know. I see...
Don't you hate on this.
I'm just saying, like, it's not like you have it's not like you have intact DNA to be like, all right, we're going to take this.
I think they have chunks, but they don't have, like, full strands.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to get weird. Like, it's always the fine detail stuff. It's the fine... Those little chunks that they're missing could be, like, the fine print in the terms of service.
I know they could create woolly mammoth death monsters that, like, have, like... Tyrannosaurus jaws, and they just start eating everything.
Sign me up.
But that would be cool too, wouldn't it?
Could you imagine riding in?
We gotta send the cavalry in, like the military. Hey, we can finally use Trump's fucking new military budget to good use. We gotta go kill the woolly mammoth monsters. And we'll have a real life science fiction movie on our hands.
Now that I can get on board with.
I'll go report the fuck out of that.
Take me with you.
Yeah, for sure. We'll go dodge death mammoths and fucking watch Trump go to war with them.
I'll be your chef, my camera
guy.
Trainer.
You're my camera guy. I'll give you camera boy.
Maybe. You're
a film boy.
Well, hopefully I'll be better behind one than in front of one.
You'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
Tucker! Just film, bitch!
Speaking of figuring things out or not figuring them out, how about this fucking
fire
festival?
They did figure it out. Anything out. Yeah, for those who don't know, there was supposed to be this luxurious festival hosted by Ja Rule, the infamous Ja Rule, and,
Hey, baby!
Fucking Ja Rule and, some entertainment company.
So it was...
I don't know the company he paired with.
This dude's, like, 25 years old, and...
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
It's already a great idea.
I mean, like, I don't know, it's the kind of thing where on paper, maybe everything could have worked out, but it sounds like they just completely overstretched their abilities.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is apparently it was, the festival was like a way to promote this app that they were developing.
Okay.
It was supposed to be like some sort of like an entertainment app. And maybe something to do with concerts. That's the third time you've drank out of that empty ass bottle.
I'm thirsty, bro. I'm so thirsty. And I keep forgetting it's empty.
You're a mess. get it together.
I don't want to leave when you're in the middle of your fucking conversation.
But it just looks like they completely overstressed themselves. So it was supposed to be this crazy Bahama
rave. Getaway. It's like a Bahama rave with Ja Rule.
Supposedly on on a private island that Pablo Escobar once owned, apparently, and there's going to be like yacht packages and all this crazy shit. It was weird what made it into the headlines, though, because all the shit made it sound like, oh, this festival was for like uber rich people, and all the tickets were like 13 grand, and tickets started like $400. Hmm. So it was like it was kind of like Coachella, but in the Bahamas.
Right. Sort
of. But yeah, some of the VIP packages with all the amenities and shit went up to like almost 13 grand, and they apparently were supposed to have yacht packages that were even more expensive, but. They got there, and there was like a shipping container with all the luggage in it, and there was no lights, and they just like unloaded all the luggage onto the beach.
They just threw that shit on the beach. Peace out.
There were folding chairs everywhere. Their tents were like these geodesic domes made out of PVC pipes and like cabanas and stuff. There's like tarps all over the place. Apparently a storm came through and wiped out a bunch of the tents.
Oh, the Bahamas? Really?
So those were out. There was supposed to be like all this luxury VIP suite stuff available. Pretty much just all tents.
Just a shit show.
It was supposed to be
they paid 12 grand to go to the campground at the Gorge.
Pretty much. Exclusively catered, like fine dining. And although the dude that organized it said, like, no, that was not even on the island, the picture that showed up. It was, like, two pieces of bread with a couple pieces of cheese and the saddest-looking salad I've ever seen in a styrofoam tray. But the dude was like, that's not us. So, I don't know. People could be trolling on that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if that's real.
But, yeah, what a fucking mess.
What a goddamn mess. Why? How dare you allow people to even buy tickets to that?
They were telling. Apparently, people that were already on the island, like employees of the event, were telling other employees, like, "Don't even bother coming. It's a fiasco. Like, don't even come."
If Ja Rule's name couldn't get any worse, like if his name couldn't get drugged through the dirt anymore. He was like, this is my one shot. I'm going to bring my name out of the fucking dirt. And whoosh, crash and fucking burn again. Again. Oh my god. This
poor bastard.
Fuck him. I don't care.
Monica!
Monica! But Monica's his career. Just walking away.
No, come back. Oh.
Dude, that's the worst line in that entire movie. No! Monica! It just screams as fucking Paul Walker blows by him. Oh, man.
And now we're on number 9. Fast and Furious 9.
Is it 9?
I think so.
I think it's...
Because the...
Oh, yeah, that's what's called Fast 8, so this one must be 9.
Yeah.
Fate of the Furious or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long can they keep it going, do you think?
Oh, I think Vin Diesel has like 15 movies planned.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, you'll go forever. The last one is the biggest movie ever. It's one of the biggest movies of all time, hands down.
You gonna watch it?
No!
Thank you.
Like, I would have to go watch all the other ones, and I can't bring myself to waste. I can't bring myself to waste that much fucking time. And now they're doing spin-offs. The Rock and Jason Statham are going to do a Fast and Furious spin-off movie.
I saw that.
God damn it! Like, and you know Vin Diesel owns Fast and Furious? He owns it.
I heard about that.
He's going to be the richest dude ever.
Could you imagine, like, getting on board with a project to start with?
Did he combine? Explode? He just combined XXX with fucking Fast and the Furious.
Essentially, you're totally right.
He's like, let's put fucking submarines and fucking goddamn rocket launchers and cars jumping out of buildings.
Bro, when I saw
Jesus,
when I saw the submarine erupting out of the ice and the cars like drag racing on the ice and then some shit
the submarine's launching missiles out and blown up cars as they're running away from the as the Lamborghini drives perfectly on the Antarctic ice. I'm like, what in the fuck am I watching right now?
And Tyrese Gibson is like he's on a Lamborghini door, like sledding across the Arctic tundra,
beating people's asses with it. God, like he takes the Lamborghini door. This is all in the trailer, by the way. We're not giving you any spoilers. This is all in the fucking trailer. He's like surfing on the fucking Lamborghini door, and he like pops it up, and then like hits two motherfuckers off snowmobiles, and then epic one liner.
Bam.
Oh, man.
I think the part that killed, I think the moment that franchise died for me was when they brought back
Letty,
yeah. She was just like all of a sudden was like, oh, not dead anymore.
That, just kidding.
I was like,
oh, now they're making shit up.
I was like, nah, I'm out.
Because it was so dramatic when she died in number one. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh,
dude,
no.
It like brought some real like emotion into this franchise where it was just like action jumps and like crazy shit and like, bro, like,
yeah, it kind of made it a real
slug.
It kind of made it a real story.
It, like, yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
And then they were like, ah, just
it kind of made it like real life. Like, yeah, we are thieves and now this bitch just died.
Mm-hmm.
like hijacking a truck and now it's this.
I think that was the tangent point where
that's
it just
fair,
went.
That's fair. I think that's a fair assessment. And like, the first one's still so dope.
Mm-hmm.
And I even like the second one, kind of.
Even the, like, the third one's, and the first and second one, I like
a lot. The third one's
lot.
Got cool driving scenes.
Third one does have really cool
the
driving scenes.
The drifting is cool driving scenes.
Super, super random. And that's where
But it's so
like,
random, but real fans are like, they love Tokyo Drift, bro. They love that.
Jay, apparently that's Jay Shab's favorite one.
I always go to like comment sections of like stuff that I'm super interested in,
uh-huh.
And like half the time on any Fast and the Furious thread, I swear to God, it just becomes an argument about whether Tokyo Drift is like a valid point in the franchise, and like a lot of people fucking dig it.
Interesting.
And I don't get it because it's just some random Australian dude out of fucking nowhere. None of the characters from the previous movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, dude, I don't even remember what the ones were after that. I have to look it up.
I know eventually, I think they introduced Rock in the fourth or the fifth one.
It was, dude, I want to say it was the fifth.
Dude, but that's the thing is they just kept getting crazier. Like, remember the one in the desert when they're racing and all of a sudden there's like a secret tunnel in the desert wall? And all of a sudden they're driving through the desert? I'm pretty sure that's the one where Letty came back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Okay, so after Tokyo Drift, it was they dropped the and it was just Fast and Furious. Then it was Fast 5, then Fast and Furious 6, Furious 7, then Fate of the Furious.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so
they're on
maybe
eight.
They are on 8.
They're
okay.
All on 8.
Forgive
yeah, I thought,
me.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was only 8, but yeah, I know for sure they're going to make 10. It's 100% positive they're going to make 10 movies.
Started in 2001. This franchise has been going for 16 years.
Hey, you want to talk about franchises that have been going for even longer than that? They're still dope. How about fucking Alien Covenant coming out May 19th?
Ooh! So excited for that.
Dude.
It looks so good.
And I still give so many fucks about that franchise. Like, I'm still so invested in it.
I'm going to...
Even though Prometheus was kind of shitty.
I'm going to rewatch Prometheus, like, just to see...
Just to get me in the zone.
If they use that part of the storyline.
When I come back up for the next weekend, we should watch
it.
Let's
do it.
Yeah.
We should have an Aliens binge.
Dude, for sure we should have an Aliens binge. Because people don't like... So there's Alien, and then there's Aliens.
Uh-huh.
And there's Alien 3. Pull them up. Because I like the one with...
Alien.
Yep.
And 79. Aliens.
Yep.
86. Alien 3, 92. Alien Resurrection, 97.
I had it right. Yep. Alien 3 and Alien... I like Resurrection. Resurrection has Ron Perlman, and it has Winona Ryder, and that's the one where Ripley is like a clone of like... She's like fucking part alien, part fucking... It's super weird, but it was like one of my favorites in the franchise. It had like really cool action.
Uh-huh.
But Aliens is really good too. With Bill... Is Aliens have Bill Paxton? Pretty sure his name is Bill Paxton.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Check it, bitch.
This is just a synopsis. I gotta go.
You gotta go to the IMDb. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Alien... Because Alien was like one alien. There was only one alien on the ship.
Yeah. Aliens has Sigourney Weaver.
Yep. Maybe he doesn't have Bill Paxton. Folks, go to IMDb.
That's where I'm going.
Fuck.
I'm going right now. Oops. Well, Aliens.
Aliens 86. Had a little girl, too, and that she had to fuck in.
Michael Biehn, Carrie Henn.
Maybe it didn't. I could be super wrong about this.
Alien 3. What was the...
You're freaking me out right now. Just fucking... Goddamn, bro. You got me all fucking lost. I want the full cast. Eh, right there.
Bill Paxton.
Boom! Bill Paxton.
Good on you, sir.
Yeah, that was the movie when I fucking... I thought so because that was the first time I saw Bill Paxton and was like, I fucking like this guy. Uh-huh. He's tight. But that's the one with a bunch of aliens and they're in the fucking compound and they find the little girl.
I've not seen this one.
Oh, that's a good one. They're all good. Alien 3 is the weirdest and probably the one I like the least.
Uh-huh.
But that also is one alien. She's in like a mining colony. And there's just one single alien. It's a creepy, like, elongated one.
Uh-huh. Now, was it... It wasn't until they did the Alien vs. Predator that they crossed the franchises, right?
And the game was first.
The game was first.
Dude, yeah, the Alien vs. Predator PC game and maybe comic books came out, like... Probably early 90s.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. And that's when they first... But then they did the movies, which I'm a fan of, honestly.
I love it.
I think they're pretty fucking cool.
The whole idea of like, oh yeah, this is this crazy species that this other species comes and trophy hunts.
Yeah.
Like, makes awesome.
Very awesome. And I don't know if the movies were the best, the most well done, but if you like to see shit kill other shit, it's fucking awesome. They were really cool. And, dude, the new Predators comes out in 2018.
I didn't even know they're making
this. And, dude, it's being made by the guy who made Nice Guys and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Ooh.
Shane Black, I believe, is his name.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And,
Let's see.
It's called Predators.
Oh, Predators.
Predators. And I'm pretty sure it's made by Shane Black.
Predators. Here, I'll find it.
Yeah, but yeah, Shane Black's a bad motherfucker. He made Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He made The Nice Guys, two of my all-time favorite movies. He also has one of my all-time favorite quotes. He was on this podcast called The Writers Panel. It's a Nerdist podcast, and they just have writers on, and they ask them about their process and stuff like that. It's really cool. All kinds of writers. Movie writers, screenplay writers, comic book writers, mm-hmm. all types of writers. But Shane Black has a quote that says, when fear becomes problem solving, that's when the writing begins.
That's dope.
It's some profound shit. There's some profound shit I heard when I was like 2 years ago, and I was like, whoa, that is... That's nifty. That's nifty advice right there.
So yeah, the upcoming one slated for August 2018.
Yep.
And it's called The Predator.
The Predator.
It's got Olivia Munn.
Yeah, dude, it's got a sick cast.
Oh yeah, Thomas Jane.
Dude, it's got a sick cast. I did hear
about this now that we see Thomas Jane. I think Nate told me about it.
Yeah, me and Nate are hyped as fuck about this movie.
Fucking dope.
Dude, it'll be interesting to see... Because I don't know if you've seen The Nice Guys. You haven't seen The Nice Guys.
Not Nice Guys.
We tried to watch it, we fell asleep. It.
Yeah, I passed out.
I own it now. I'll have to let you borrow it.
Oh,
or bring it up. But it's cool because it's got a lot of action, but it's mostly funny.
Mm.
And it's dark. So I'm interested to see that spin on The Predator.
Mm.
Like, it's got probably going to be some humor thrown in. But it won't be. It'll be like dark. It'll be serious, but with like tones of just really dark comedy in it, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
I like the most recent Predator that they had.
I liked it too.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
Adrian,
yeah. Lawrence Fishburne was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that one called Predators?
I think that is the one, yeah. That was like 2010, I think.
12-ish. I just remember the scene where that guy thinks he escapes in the Predator ship and he's so stoked and the Predator's on the ground looking at his ship flying to the air and he touches his wrist dial and walks away and the fucking ship just explodes and the whole theater erupted into laughter. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most unexpected, hilarious moments in cinema history, I think. Because that Predator was like, you silly cunt. Do-do-do-do-do. Boom! Boom! Fuck Adrian Brody, that motherfucker. I don't know who was in the ship. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was Adrian Brody, but...
I just remember fucking Walton Goggins getting his spine ripped out.
Oh, in that section. Yeah.
And just, like, pulls his skull and his spine out of him and just hosts it.
I gotta rewatch that movie. Dude, we should have an Alien and Predator marathon.
Let's fucking do it! Because
there's some good shit. I remember one of my cool scenes in Alien vs. Predator Requiem was the sequel... One of the scenes I'll always remember is when the Predator throws his disc vertically and it flies through like this thin slit in the wall when they're climbing up a ladder and the girl stops and she looks and it just cuts her fucking head in half. Mm. That hot, like the hottest girl, and everyone was like, ah, damn it. I'll never forget that because it was just one of the sickest deaths. Predator just threw that disc and just cut their fucking head off. Ba-tink! That's cool about Predator. He always had the dopest gadgets. Shoulder cannon, discs, he was like, spears.
He was like an alien Iron Man.
Dude, he was.
Just some weird, crazy shit down for battle.
He had net guns. Dude, one of the sleeper games of all time that I played on my Xbox was Predator. It was called Predator Concrete Jungle. And you come into the city and you hunt down like these gangsters. And it's a third-person game and you literally had all the weapons and you just crept around the city and... Ganked,
I think I remember this.
Ganked motherfuckers.
I think I remember watching you play.
You had to fight crime bosses and shit. Mm-hmm.
Like
because like these like crime lords like found Predator technology, and so like some of the bosses like are like part Predator and shit, and it's like a crazy plot line. So insane. It's so insane. But it like totally worked for a fucking video game, and I was, you know, like probably 15, 16 when I played it whenever it came out.
Uh-huh.
But God, I'll never forget that game. It was sick. Super cool.
Yeah, I think I remember watching that at your place, because like I would always come over and just watch you play games just because I fucking can't.
Yeah.
don't have it, but
don't have it.
Yeah, it was like a lot of like big concrete buildings and shit. You're climbing up a bunch of ladders and scaling rooftops.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Yep. It was like a platformer slash action game.
Yeah.
Like third person. And man, it was one of my favorites.
Nice.
One of my all time favorite games. On that same level of my all time favorite games, I played for the GameCube was the Jango Fett game.
Mmm.
Where you got to fly around as Jango Fett and fucking blast people and go catch bounties and shit.
You brought something up about that recently.
Yeah. Oh, I posted about it because there's been talks about a Boba Fett movie for, like, the Star Wars Stories series.
Oh, uh-huh.
Like, because they had Rogue One, a Star Wars Stories. Well, now that's going to be a whole series of movies now, which I love. That's
a
great way. Because that's what the books are.
Mm-hmm.
The books are Star Wars Stories, so you do the movies like that, and it's perfect. But they're talking about a Boba Fett movie, and Nerdist posted an article. It was, like, the perfect Boba Fett... side story already exists, and it was a game about Jango Fett for the GameCube.
Dope.
And it was just... It was the prequel to how Jango Fett got recruited to become the dude for all the clones.
Uh-huh.
So it takes place on, like... It takes place... It's the prequel to that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I want to know about.
Yeah. And he was just a badass motherfucker who ended up, like, fighting, like, Sith and shit and just... You know, got, I don't remember exactly what it was, but he had this crazy bounty, and I think he goes and, I don't remember, but basically he fights some bad motherfuckers, he gets put on the map of Count Dooku, and Count Dooku recruits him to become the fucking clone, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, it was sick.
I know there's like a select few things that they kept as canon when they transferred over to Disney, like, there's certain things that just, so long as it continues, like, the main plot line of all the stories that I hope would have got kept canon, and that'd be one of them. Because that Jango Fett was, when that character came out,
my all time favorite character.
Yeah,
he's still like top three all time favorite.
Everything we wanted from Boba Fett. And you got to see him, like, actually be a badass.
To be a badass, slinging pistols and just capping motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the big reasons why Darth Maul was so popular when Episode 1 came out. Because, like, honestly, in Episode 4 through 6, like, Darth Vader's not that badass. You can tell he's... The power is much more like a symbolic thing. You're not seeing them just waste motherfuckers and being evil.
That's why we love the ending of Rogue One. Because we finally saw it.
Yes.
We finally saw him, like, waste an entire troop like they were fucking 12-year-old boys that had just gotten their blaster rifles for the first time. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, I like...
Dude, that's why everyone is so stoked about the Battlefield or Battlefront 2 game.
Because
it's going to have a one-player campaign, and the whole thing is going to go through all the generations of Star Wars, and it's focused on the dark side. Like,
that's cool.
Like, most of the campaign will take place from the point of view of the villains.
Mm-hmm. You know what really
gonna
is...
And Darth Maul is going to be a playable character, and everyone's freaking the fuck out. Literally freaking the fuck out. People are obsessed with Darth Maul.
Uh-huh.
He is... the most, probably in my opinion, one of the most revered characters in Star Wars history, and he has almost no screen time. It's crazy.
He got lots of screen time in Clone Wars and Rebels.
They had to give him screen time. Like, I bet you part of the reason they wanted to make those shows was so they could tell that story. Like, it was a consensus instant hit in the Star Wars universe. Like, double-bladed lightsaber, spike-head demon guy, killed Obi-Wan. We're in! We're so fucking in! And then Obi-Wan kills him. We're all like, you finally had the villain. Mm-hmm. You finally had your villain, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
We could have seen him grow into a legendary savage.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so,
and then,
this is just popping in my head right now. How much cooler would the prequel trilogy have been if it was Darth Maul as the highest Sith Lord all the time, and Palpatine was his apprentice, and then kills him, or commits betrayal and takes over his place and becomes
Emperor. I was thinking, you just keep Darth Maul and he keeps rising through the ranks, and then but the Emperor sees Anakin's growing power and convinces him to come to the dark side, and he goes, all right, you'll be a super badass if you kill Maul.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have an epic fight, and he kills Maul, and then he has an epic fight with Kenobi or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have an epic trilogy fight with them all, where they're all kind of fighting each other, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because fuck Count Dooku and this old bitch ass! It is nothing against Christopher,
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee, he's a fine actor. But I was just like...
No, he plays the character very well. It's just it's not a great character.
It's not a good character. And it was like... And all I could think of was like, Darth Maul should be there. Maul should be there.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of throughout the entire spawn of me seeing Darth Tyrannus.
But he does make sense because of his backstory and everything. The way that the prequel trilogy is actually like a political... it's really more of a political
drama, which I like, I do enjoy. It was the horrible acting that killed me in those movies.
Mm-hmm. But with Clone Wars, that it really fleshes out all the politics of everything involved, and you see all the different worlds colliding and disagreeing with each other and taking sides, and they do a really good job of filling in a lot of holes and having Count Dooku or Lord Tyrannus manipulate different things and carry out these really backhanded things for Sidious and everything.
That's cool.
So
maybe that would make me like him more if I were to know those things.
It softened me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Towards him. Like, still,
because Anakin punks him so hard in the third movie, I was like, well, yeah, we saw that coming. He's a bitch ass old man.
What do you think was gonna happen?
Yeah, do you think Anakin was been waiting to punk that old fuck?
But I want...
I'm excited for this Last Jedi stuff. The hype's getting up, and I'm really excited for it. Yeah, I think... Dude, they're going to do something crazy with Luke. Either they're going to kill the Jedi Order, and they're going to start up something new. Mm-hmm. Something completely new. that's like, they're Jedi, but they're not Jedi, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like a completely new order that stands for something completely kind of different. Or if Luke's going to go crazy and go to the dark side, I think. Mm. That's been the theme in movies. Think about it. Mm. Vin Diesel went bad. Fucking Optimus Prime in the new Transformers. He kills Bumblebee.
Hmm. Interesting.
To think it's a theme. I think, and I don't even give a fuck. I think dope if you find him, if Rey finds Luke and she finds him in a time where he's bitter and just fuck the Force. I'm so sick of it. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be the fucking jet. I'm just gonna go with Kylo and we're gonna fucking get everything up. Hell yeah.
Alright, I can get that.
Because then you have a hella dark sequel just like Empire, so you kind of follow the same pattern, but it's completely different in a way.
I really hope Kylo Ren goes from bitch to bull.
He's got to, because he got punked.
Yeah.
He's such a badass throughout the whole movie, and then this person who gets their lightsaber the first time just slashes him in the face, and he's like, "Rah!"
Just fucks him up. Even just like the whole like,
which I didn't mind. Which I didn't mind. Everyone was like, "Oh, he's supposed to be some badass," and I'm like, "Well, not really. Like, he's just kind of getting away with a lot of punk ass shit because there's no Jedi around to punk him." Mm-hmm. And this kind of proved that like he's not as badass as he thought he was.
Yeah, which now makes, he's got to get his shit together.
And what's the ugly fuck that's gonna train him?
Snoke.
Yeah. So now he's gonna get trained with Snoke and be a super badass. So that'd be cool.
And I really want to see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I
don't even know who Snoke is. He's a very ominous character.
It's one of the biggest like talked about things online. Like there's hundreds and hundreds of threads and discussion boards and shit, like putting out all kinds of crazy theories about what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Some think it's like the soul of Darth Vader, like somehow put into this body. There's all sorts of weird
things. That's stupid because he was.
And I hope it's not that.
That's dumb because he was a Jedi ghost. Mm-hmm. So that's. Fuck that. That theory is not even logically based in anything because he's up. Because Vader's a Jedi ghost now.
Mm-hmm.
He cleansed his soul when he killed the Emperor mm-hmm. and fucking. He brought balance. Technically, wasn't that like. He kind of like that was kind of supposed to be part of like him bringing balance, like, and that's why he got to become a Jedi ghost.
Yeah.
I
didn't read.
Obviously, it's into not. It there's no all. Balance now because Kylo's back fucking shit up.
Yeah, I didn't read into it all because with that, I kind of want to see like where the movie goes.
Mm-hmm.
And like you've been talking, like you kind of cut down on the amount of trailers you watch.
I watch teaser trailers now because they're the first trailer that comes out, and like that's really all I want to see. I don't watch trailers anymore. But the Alien Prometheus spots are some of the best trailers that have been cut in a really, really long time.
And we got Danny McBride in an Aliens movie.
They're just either silent, and it just shows like aliens fucking shit up, and just, or it's just got like a song playing, mm-hmm. and then it's just aliens fucking shit up, and it's mm-hmm. just like, kind of like a country western song, and it's really creepy. And
that's
it's,
cool.
It's badass, dude. That Thor Ragnarok trailer. Since we're on the topic of trailers, we can talk. That's, I think, that's the best trailer that MCU has ever cut.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Jeff Goldblum was in it. It showed just enough about the plot to get me really excited, but it didn't give away any about why. Like, you see crazy shit happening in the trailer, like Asgard blowing up mm-hmm. and Thor's hammer disintegrating, but it doesn't tell you why those things happen.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they... Which is perfect, because now I need to go see... I want to see why his hammer gets disintegrated, because that's just as cool as seeing it
mm-hmm.
actually disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I still was like, all right, that might have been a little too much. Like, Asgard blowing up is something, but I don't know if you should show Thor's hammer being disintegrated at the first scene of the first teaser.
Uh-huh.
But you got to get people hyped for Thor.
You couldn't have any of that battle scene go on without... showing that, because otherwise
that's fair, because
Thor
then
just like throw his hand up and wait for that fucking hammer to come in and he just lays waste to everything.
That's really fair.
So they've got to show that the hammer is no longer a factor in the equation,
because that builds up to the last scene when he's in the arena
uh-huh.
with the Hulk.
Yeah. But I know him from work
when he pops out, yeah, and everyone's like, oh, fuck, is he excited. That's yeah, I'm really excited because I have not been a crazy fan of the Thor franchise thus far. It's not been terrible, but none of the movies have hooked me because Thor isn't a character that I vibe with necessarily. It's not like Spider-Man where he doesn't take a lot to get me really excited for a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Fucking love Spider-Man. But
why was it you started stretching?
I wanted to stretch so I could do the Spider-Man stretch. If you don't know what the Spider-Man stretch is, it's when you're like crouched down and like it's you got like one leg extended out and
you're doing a lunge. With your leg that's extended with your toes pointed towards the ceiling.
Yeah.
And just like...
Wow. But that's how Spider-Man always landed in the comic books. Like, for whatever reason, like, that was like a... I don't know why. It's not even... It doesn't even make sense.
Uh-huh.
Why do you land like that?
I don't know. The physics of it don't make any sense.
But it looks so badass when he's, like, battle ready. He's got, like, his fingers, like...
I'm gonna come home to you with your knee swollen to the size of a grapefruit with ice on it. And going, what the fuck? I'm like, I jumped out the house... Spider-Man and my fucking leg blew out.
Nah, bro, I'm gonna go to Spider-Man's Halloween one year though. I'm gonna climb trees and shit. May is a great month for movies. We got Guardians 2 comes out this week. I'm gonna go see it Thursday with the homies at work.
Nice.
And then after that you got Homecoming, which comes out I don't think that Friday. I think it's the Friday after.
Mm-hmm.
So a week after. And then a week after that, I'm pretty sure you got Alien Prometheus.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
That is a nasty, nasty line.
Yeah, I'm going to be in
Thank Moses. God. Thank God. Because movies have been... There hasn't been a lot of good movies coming out lately.
I don't know.
The last good movie... Like, the most good movie I saw in the theater... I saw Split, and I was really impressed with that, actually. So there's been some good shit coming out.
Split was sick. Because it was...
James McAvoy fucking kills it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking kills it.
So, it's part of a trilogy? It's a sequel to...
It's a sequel to Unbreakable, spoiler alert.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, it's just like another sighting of a crazy super being, essentially.
Uh-huh.
And I hope in the next one's going to be called Glass.
Cool.
So, I'm interested to find the backstory of, like, these superhumans, more or less. Uh-huh. Like, you kind of know Bruce Willis's backstory, but... Yeah, he's going to be back in the trilogy, and so is Samuel Jackson, so it's back on.
Oh, speaking of, as long as we're talking about like superhumans and abilities and shit, I started watching Legion. It actually took me a little while to get involved. Like, it didn't like grab me right away. I'm not sure why. I think it's because I started watching The Path first. That's a Hulu series about the cult.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's really good. That also, that took a couple episodes for me to build and like really like get intrigued, but the what they do with the story and how like slowly they feed you stuff and kind of like drag you in incrementally, and the acting's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, sometimes with shows I don't want to invest the time for the payoff, but every now and then it is good to find a show that like the payoff story-wise takes long to get there, but it's super interesting because of, like, the actors are just fucking laying down fucking, you know, terrific roles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to watch.
What I would love to see also is fucking Aaron Paul that the Breaking Bad and the Path universes are the same, and that this is him after he was Jesse Pinkman.
Oh, is that a crazy fan theory?
No, I just looked into it all, but I just thought of it because watching it, I can't not see him as Jesse Pinkman.
Right,
it's almost impossible. So, you know, the Path is this this ayahuasca cult organization that, you know, all their members are vegan and they do good things for communities and stuff, and they pull people in and they're trying to recruit for when the light comes and all this shit. So it takes in, you know, like drug addicts and people with like trauma in their lives and everything, and it helps set them on the path towards the light. And it's a fictional religion, and they set it up pretty well about like you have to climb ladders and or like a not a real ladder but like a figurative ladder that you have to climb.
I got you.
And, so throughout this you're getting kind of a sense of who these people are and where they're what they're trying to do. A lot of it's involved around going down to Peru and taking ayahuasca and having crazy visions and shit. So knowing that they do this with their clients and they're helping like heroin addicts recover and everything, knowing that, it would make almost perfect sense to have like those two worlds combined. So Jesse Pinkman like washes his hands of who he used to be and like joins this organization
and gets thrust in some other crazy shit.
Yeah, because, and this is not really a spoiler alert at all, it's within the first 20 minutes of the first episode, like you see that there's the leader of the person who started this organization, the L. Ron Hubbard of this fucking organization,
right?
And he has, or the Aaron Paul's character has this vision where he goes to a door where the light is supposed to be and opens it, and it's the dude who started the organization in like a ICU unit, and he's fucking conked out and he's not waking up, and that's what's happening. And it's kind of cool because it shows like power plays within this religion. The guy that wants to keep it going is like scheming to take over and everything, and they do a really good job with everything.
That sounds very, very interesting.
I'm intrigued, but I'm going to keep watching Legion too, because Amy started watching it and she loves it.
Yeah, what episode are you guys on?
Just two.
Okay.
Just the first two.
Dude, it's only 8 seasons, 8 episodes the first season.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So I like that size.
I do. I do too. That size. 8 to 10 episodes is perfect. Mm-hmm. But episode 6, just get to episode 6.
Okay.
And you will be fucking hooked for his, like, because I was like, right on episode 4, I was like, alright, this is tight. Like, visually, it's stunning the entire time. It's stunning, and the actors are amazing, too. But I was just like, I don't really see where the story is going yet. I'm not sure if I'm convinced that the protagonist can be a badass after he fixes his problems, you know? Like, I'm not convinced this guy can be a super badass. And then episode 4, just, like, I was like, alright, this is sick. Like, I'm on board fully. And then episode 6, I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Episode 6 is so cool and such a mind fuck. Yeah, I just, they have the most interesting way to tell stories because of the characters they chose to use with Legion and his brain and the characters. And it's bad fucking ass.
I'll hang in there.
Yep.
I'll keep it up.
Well, I'm gonna have to fucking head home, buddy. You wanna bring this thing home?
Let's wrap it all up! Send it home.
Fuck yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This, I don't know when this shit's gonna drop.
I have no idea. Probably next week.
Yeah, probably next week. I didn't even think about it. Our last episode was about the draft. We should probably drop that ASAP while the draft is still relevant.
Yeah.
So, if we wanted to drop the draft one Monday and this on Thursday, I'm cool with that.
Okay, that works. And then I'll be in Moses the next couple weekends, so we'll
stop. You can stop through and
record. Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Cool.
Get something done.
All right, everybody. Thanks for fucking listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
A voice. I heard it. Listen. 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 Listen.
Floating away in space.
I heard it. Listen.